When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And ladies and gentlemen, you can hear that right in this room right now. You are stoked. I am stoked because today the U.S. played Iran in the World Cup. It was win or go home, and we won, baby! Woo! Wait, sorry. It's soccer. I forgot. Hold on 1 second. It was a tense and thrilling match with Captain America, Christian Pulisic, getting the cross and boom! USA scores, biggie goal, biggie fry. Now with this win, the US team is moving on to the round of 16, where this Saturday they will face off against the Netherlands. Oh, we can take the Dutch. We can take the Dutch. I assume they play in clogs. President Biden got the good news after a speaking event in Michigan. And Joe was so pumped, he got back up on the stage to share the news.
U.S. 1, Iran 0, game's over.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man. When I spoke to the coach and the players, I said, you can do this. They went, they did it. God love them.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah, God love you, you did it. Pop Joe's so proud of you kids. I got a whole tray of orange slices in the trunk of my Buick. Hop in. Going to Pizza Hut, come on. You know, I almost met Pele once. So, U.S. men move on, which is great news for U.S. soccer fans. They get to stay in Qatar and enjoy all the magic, the mascots, the national anthems, and of course, the We Will Jail You If You Kiss cam. Moving on to less important contests, the midterms. Yes, they're still grinding on because yesterday, a Republican-controlled county in Arizona refused to certify the 2022 election and missed the state's deadline for filing results on Monday. Okay, that's not good. But to be fair, who makes a deadline on the Monday after Thanksgiving? The only thing anyone should be doing that day is Googling how long is turkey good in the fridge and then ignoring the answer. 4 days, really? That's for amateurs, okay? It's good until you can smell it with the refrigerator door closed. And then you make a tangy soup. The state has sued these supervisors to make them do their jobs, but if that does not work, and this is true, all the votes in those Republican-majority counties will be excluded, and as a result, a U.S. House seat and a state schools chief would flip from Republican to a Democrat. Oh, you darling dummies. I'm surprised you love the Second Amendment so much because you keep shooting yourself in the foot. Of course, no story about ignoring the will of the voters and flirting with autocracy is complete without former President Mountain Douche. The ex-pres, he's not happy that his pick for Arizona governor lost. So yesterday he wrote, Carrie Lake should be installed as governor of Arizona. First of all, no, she shouldn't. She lost. Second, installed? She's not an HVAC system. Although I understand the confusion, she always looks like she's photographed through an air filter. But maybe, old President Crazy Pants is just saying that to get everyone to stop talking about his recent dinner with Ye and white nationalist Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes. See, he ate dinner with both of those creeps. It's his most upsetting meal since every other meal. This dinner has been the last straw for many loyal Republicans, including the former vice president, who came dangerously close to saying something negative about his old boss.
President Trump was wrong to give a white nationalist, an anti-Semite, and a Holocaust denier a seat at the table. With that being said, as I point out in the book as well, I don't believe Donald Trump is an anti-Semite. I don't believe he's a racist or a bigot.
He can't be a racist. He also wanted to kill me, a person lacking all color. I am a manila envelope taped to a beige wall. Pence wasn't the only Republican trying to distance himself from the former president. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy tweeted, "The former president hosting racist anti-Semites for dinner encourages other racist anti-Semites. These attitudes are immoral and should not be entertained. This is not the Republican Party." Counterpoint, yes, it is. I'll send you some links. Okay, this next portion of tonight's monologue, is this the part? Okay, this contains a small confession. Every night, we do a pretty long monologue out here. I think it's the longest monologue any of the late night guys do, 13, 14 minutes some nights. But sometimes we generate more monologue than we need for that night's show, so we just push it to the next day. Usually none's the wiser, saves us a little work tomorrow, but occasionally it bites us in the ass. And tonight is one such tush nibbler. Because you might remember, the really big story yesterday was the protests in China in response to China's zero COVID policy. A stark contrast to America's policy, everybody gets COVID. And this isn't just people upset when they're politely asked to wear a mask in a Kroger. China's COVID rules are extreme. Businesses and schools are closed, even if only a handful of cases are found. Lockdowns last until no new infections are reported. And as of just a few weeks ago, about a quarter of the population was under some form of lockdown. People were also getting locked down at work. Last month, Foxconn workers tried to flee a factory lockdown where there were horror stories about food shortages. And just last week, those same workers rioted because they weren't paid what they were promised for being forced to work during the lockdown. That is terrible. I can't believe that Foxconn factory had those conditions. What do they make at that factory? Let me just search for that real quick. Yee-yee! Siri, search for a phone that doesn't make me sad. Point is, I was going to talk about all that stuff last night, but we were a little tight on time, so we said, we'll just do it tomorrow. Those protests are the biggest since Tiananmen Square. It's not going away. Then this morning, it all went away. Because overnight, the Chinese government cracked down hard on the protests, with police patrolling the streets, checking cell phones, and even calling some demonstrators to warn them against a repeat. That is horrible. Authoritarian regimes, come on, it's 2022. Just text. Over the weekend, Beijing tried to bury information about the protests, in part by using their army of Twitter bots to spam the service with links to escort services and other adult offerings. One user said their social media feed was 50% porn, 50% protests. Okay. Go ahead, clap. It does make me wonder what Chinese government-approved porn would look like. Hello, I'm a plumber, here to lay some pipe. Thanks to the bold leadership of President Xi, all the infrastructure of China is in perfect working order. Good day, comrade. Good day, patriot woman. Now that is a happy ending for the people. Staying overseas. I got off. Does it for me. Hi, Paul. Staying overseas, there's news from across the pond, and it's that two people from across the pond are crossing the pond. I'm talking about the Prince and Princess of Wales, William and Kate, seen here looking ridiculous. Tomorrow, old England will head to New England, where Boston is excited for a royal visit from William and Kate. Yes, in the words of a famous monarchy-loving Bostonian, the British are coming! Yippee! The trip is William and Kate's first time in the U.S. in 8 years. It's such a big deal, royal staffers are calling it their Super Bowl. Wow, they are really pandering to the Americans. This voyage is our Super Bowl, our Toyota-thon, our Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And so we raise our big gulps brimming with Diet Cola and ranch dressing, Tom Hanks. Upon that. Upon their arrival, the prince and princess will be greeted by Mayor Michelle Wu and Caroline Kennedy. And, of course, Boston's royal couple, Mark Wahlberg and the Departed, and Mark Wahlberg and Ted. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Sally Field. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Poncho listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest this evening is a beloved two-time Academy Award and three-time Emmy Award-winning actress you know from Forrest Gump, Lincoln, and Hello, my name is Doris. Her new film is, spoiler alert.
A friend.
Yeah, a friend.
Just a friend.
Yes, Mom, just a friend.
What is going on here? Who is this guy? What's happening? Why is he still here? I don't understand. You were acting so weird, and you don't even look us in the face. You're acting so weird.
He's my boyfriend, Mom.
Your boyfriend?
Yes. I'm gay.
I'm gay, too.
I am also gay.
Please welcome back to The Late Show, Sally Field.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's so nice to have you back.
Thank you so much.
This is your third trip here to The Late Show.
Yes, it is.
We're always so pleased to have you here, and
thank
not
you.
Just because the first two times you were here, we made out. And I'm not just bragging out of school here. We did it on camera. This wasn't backstage.
Okay.
Jim, prove it to the people. Lovely to see you. Now, here's the thing. Since you were last here, COVID has come and gone, and people are more cautious than they used to
be. Come and gone, I think. Like, whoa, did you see that earlier photograph of me? Wow, okay, no, never mind.
You look fantastic. So I don't think it's appropriate.
Okay, good.
Public health measures being what they are, we probably shouldn't make up. What should we do? Should I just gaze lovingly at you, as I've done since I was a child?
Since you were a child, and I wasn't
and you were the
a
flying
child.
Nut.
I know. well, I don't know.
Want to arm wrestle? Lovely to see. Lovely to see you.
Again. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Now, I wish I could kiss you.
Yeah.
I was actually, the time I did that, the first time that you just saw, I went back there and went, what have I done? What came over me? Who am I? It was wonderful. I loved every minute of it, but.
Me too. My wife was not thrilled, but I got to say, I can't say no to Sally Field.
You had
She's
no choice in it. Do you see? I grabbed your head,
of
for
course,
God's sake.
Of course. This year, something I just found out that I didn't know about you is, I know you're such an accomplished and wonderful actress, but I didn't know you studied at the Actors
Studio
with Lee Strasberg.
Oh, yeah.
On the West Coast, and they moved out there.
Oh, yeah.
This is the 75th anniversary of the founding of Actors Studio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That name gets thrown around a lot.
Oh, yes,
people don't
does.
Necessarily understand what it is. Explain
no,
to the people
don't.
what the Actors Studio is.
How much time do we have? I mean, this is like...
12 minutes.
12 minutes. Okay, so at the very beginning, you can't explain everything that is, but I do know this, that most of the times when people banty around that term method,
right.
they have zero idea of really what it is or what the work is that Lee taught at the Actors Studio, and you're going to say right now, well, then go ahead and tell us what it is.
What is it? You can't.
It took me like 10 years to understand what it was, and I was just barely...
How did you get involved
in it? I was doing The Flying Nun. And I was really...
For those people who don't know what the Flying Nun was, can I explain that you actually played a nun whose habit allowed her the superpower of flight? And nothing else needs to be explained.
It was also... We also started shooting that show, just to give some context, in 1966, 67.
Sure.
And my whole generation was running around naked and eating granola and dropping acid and, you know, changing the world.
Yes.
And I was a nun. And
you were a flying nun, which was clearly written on acid.
But what I was, I had,
that pitch
there
was actually
no acid involved.
Yes.
It just was wires.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. and so the woman I worked with, a great actress on The Flying Nun, grabbed me and took me to the back of the soundstage and put a piece of paper in my hand because I was really depressed. And I gained 20 pounds in 2 hours. So you could just see that this girl was not going
to
make it.
Depressed about having to play a flying nun.
Yes, I wanted to be running around like the rest of them.
Yeah.
Or I thought I did.
Sure.
Yeah. I thought I did. But anyway, mm-hmm. and she said, be there Wednesday night. I'll meet you there. Show up. And it was to the Actors Studio, and they had just moved there. So that was in 1966 or 67. It was the first time I was there. So I was working at the Actors Studio then early on with Lee, doing like The Respectful Prostitute by Sartre at night and doing The Flying Nun in the day.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Yes. The virgin whore dichotomy, as we say archetypal psychology.
I know.
Who were the other people? Like, were the people that we might know who were taking the classes at the same time were back in the day?
Jack Nicholson was there a lot, but I don't remember him ever taking any classes. Let me think.
Just hanging out, looking cool.
And Sally Kellerman was there a lot, and Ellen Burstyn was a moderator a lot, and Bruce Dern. And Richard Dreyfuss would drop in. It was just a bevy of a lot of the newbies. We were like the new tribe. And
so, when people say, like, some people complain about method acting. Like, we had
Brian Cox on here, who's
talking all kinds of smack about method, saying just act. Like, how would you defend the method to people like that?
I worked with Brian. He's a wonderful, wonderful actor. But it's kind of the British way of doing things, mm-hmm. acting, and the American way of acting. I know mm-hmm. he's talking about Jeremy Strong, who from Succession, which is a fabulous show. Yes. I've also worked with Jeremy. And they're just two separate ways. I mean, when you look at the British, it's, you know, this whole stiff upper kind of, you know, vibe, even though some of them are just extraordinary actors. But the Actors Studio is very much about the interior, your own existence. It's very munchy and emotional and get it. And the British are like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, just act.
Just learn the lines and show up.
This is acting, folks. This is acting. But a lot of method got the bad word against them, which was really just actors who had no idea what they were doing. It was just bad behavior. And they said, this is method.
So they gave it a bad name.
Yeah, they just gave it a bad name.
Well, I'm going to talk about your latest project, which is, it's coming out early next year, 80 for Brady.
Oh, yeah.
You star alongside Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and Rita Moreno. And here you all, you lovelies, are right there. And I assume alongside Tom Brady, because tell the folks what this is about.
Well, come on, one movie at a time. We were told that's coming out later. This one's coming out now.
We're getting to spoiler alert. I promise you.
80 for Brady.
I don't want to force you to talk about anything you don't want to talk about.
No, I want to talk about this.
No, we can talk about anything.
No, I like
refuse
this.
To listen.
I like sports. Sports is really why I did it. I mean, they never show. I see older women in movies when it's just all about them kind of, let's just name names. It's all kind of like they need a date, you know? And I am not looking for a date unless you're available, but your wife wouldn't let that happen. But never mind.
So you're all sports fans. You all love Brady.
I personally am a sports fan. And this is about four women. They're supposed to be in their 80s, and they wear jerseys that says 80 for Brady. Mine says 75 for Brady.
Was that in your contract?
Yeah, I got one. Ah, no, wait a minute. And it's about them getting into that phenomenal Super Bowl game when Brady was like amazing, was a magician.
His Tampa Bay win?
Yeah. Yeah. In 16, I think it was.
I don't know.
And and that's what it is. It's they have to get into this Super Bowl game and watch.
Does
the
Tom
show.
Brady act in that movie?
Yeah.
Is he method? Is he very method?
Oh.
He always stays in character as Tom Brady.
He was so method. You can't. We were like, when is this guy gonna just say the verbiage and get on with it? You know.
We have to take a quick break, okay. But stick around. We'll be right back with more Sally Field, everybody.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, right there, sit down. Sit down. You don't get to leave. We got to do this thing. What are you doing, Sally? We're back with the star of the new film, spoiler alert, Sally Field. Your new film, as I said before,
yes.
is called Spoiler Alert.
Right.
Without too many spoilers, tell the people what that's about, if you don't mind.
Well, it really is just about how hard it is to love someone for the duration. It's hard. There's a lot of bumps, whether it's a parent to a child or partner to partner. It's hard. It's a love story, and that ultimately is what it's about, and family, and riding some of those big bumps.
And it's based on a true story?
Yeah.
And did you know the story before you went into
no,
it?
No. Michael Aziello's memoir, I did not, mm-hmm. and I didn't read the memoirs even before or since, mm-hmm. because I play Kit's mother, his partner's mother, and they're lovely people. I understand they still are alive, which is great, but we never met them, mm-hmm. Bill Irwin and I, who plays the father. And I just felt I had an allegiance to the text mm-hmm. over what really the memoir was, which is quite a bit bigger and longer. So I didn't meet them. And I probably am inaccurate, but I hope they're not displeased.
With your description of the movie?
Anything. Me in general.
So you haven't read the book. Have you seen the film yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you know what happens.
I've done that. Yeah, I know what happens.
Not sure whether I was just catching you not know what to talk about. It's directed by Michael Showalter.
Yes.
Wonderfully also did...
Doris. Hello, my name is
Hello,
Doris.
Hello, my name is
yes.
Doris, which
yes,
is
that's
such
really
a wonderful film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
and The Big Doris. Sick.
And
yeah.
The Big Sick. And he and many things now. He's won so many awards for the actresses that were ever involved, to Tammy Faye. And the big drop, which that
big
was
sick.
No, there was another one. What was the series he just won? Never mind.
We'll cut this part out. We'll cut this part out.
No, leave it in.
Leave this.
Yeah.
This is the charming part.
This is the good part.
Do you have a favorite film of your own? That you like? Do you actually like? Some people won't watch their own work. Do you?
I don't think about it a lot. Someday I will, maybe, when I'm on the porch drooling in a cup.
You don't think about your own films, or you don't watch
no.
your own films?
No, I don't think about my own films mm-hmm. very much. No.
Could I recommend some to you?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Okay. I'll send you some links. Did you watch The Flying Nun?
When it was on at
yeah.
the time?
Did you
oh
watch
my
it?
Gosh, yes. I was like, oh my God, here it is. But I can't say it made me any happier. Aww. I can't say I was like
depression. You'd already done Gidget at that point, right?
I had already done Gidget, yeah.
Yes. No, but that, like before you did that, like how old were you when got that gig?
Oh, I was 17.
Wow. And what were you doing before that? Like, were you doing theater or were you just student?
I was in high school. I was a kid in high school. I was in the drama department. I almost didn't graduate because all I did was the drama department. I had to go to night school to get out of high school.
Wow. Wow. I almost didn't graduate also.
Really? Why?
Because I just didn't do anything. I
weren't
like,
in the drama department?
I did some plays. I did Annie Get Your Gun, and I did My Sister Eileen and stuff
really?
Like that. But
well,
not till great. I was not till I was a senior.
Well, did you sing and dance in Annie Get Your Gun?
Yeah. There's a girl in Tennessee who's sorry she met up with me. Can't go back to Tennessee. I'm a bad, bad man. Frank Butler. Break my mother and my girlfriend. My girlfriend Mackie Krawczyk was Annie. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, very romantic. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when did you start doing stand-up?
I never did stand-up. I did improv for many years.
Yeah,
I was an improv. I mean, I studied theater. I did an undergraduate theater program at Northwestern, and then I did improv in Chicago.
Wow.
This is a fascinating interview
of me.
I'm really loving this. Go ahead, ask me other things about me, Sally Field.
I
got involved with Second City in Chicago, and then I knew a lot. I respect a lot of stand-ups tremendously because they put in the hours and the miles out on the road.
Yeah.
But I would never call myself a stand-up because they earned that moniker, and I never did.
It's such a different world between improv and stand-up.
Right, improv is all, it's all cooperative. It's
all
collaborative.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about, mutual discovery.
Yeah, I like improv in the work.
Yeah.
I've never done stand-up. Well, actually, I did a film about stand-up with Tom Hanks.
It's called stand-up.
Yeah, it wasn't.
What was it called?
It was called Punchline.
Punchline,
with Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I was really dreadful. Not in the movie, just doing stand-up. I don't know, maybe I was dreadful in the movie, too. I haven't watched it.
I'll go back. I'll send you a link. Mm-hmm. You got arrested with Jane Fonda.
I did.
On her Climate Action Fridays down in D.C. Speaking of one of your little mates,
one of my friends.
Had you been arrested before?
Not that I can remember.
Did you have a wild period? Were you wild ever?
No, I wasn't. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Come on. You weren't ever wild?
I was never wild.
Not even the Smokey and the Bandit days?
No, I was working, always. Always working, then I had kids. I was never wild. I'm just waiting for it.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. It could be any minute now. Mm-hmm. You could come out of this theater and see me hanging on the light pole.
Yep. Free Basin Boniva.
I know, really, truly. I need that.
Trust me.
Well,
don't we all? Sally, just lovely to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's always such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Spoiler alert is in select theaters this Friday and nationwide December 9th. Sally Field, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
CBS Sunday, after The Equalizer.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
It's the season finale.
Everyone's looking for something.
Of Tracker.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker, CBS season finale Sunday after The Equalizer on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Hey, everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.